You're listening to Mornings with Zerlina, right here on Sirius XM Progress.
Welcome back to Mornings with Zerlina. Sean Harris is running in Georgia's 14th district. Good morning. Thank you so much for being back with us.
Good morning, and I'm so excited to be on your show again.
So the last time we chatted, you were running in that special election to fill out the rest of the, or serve the rest of the term after Marjorie Taylor Greene went home. Mm-hmm. You were unsuccessful in that. However, you are now running in the general election against Clay Fuller. What are some of the things that you're talking about now that you're running in the general election that you feel like is resonating with voters and you think could turn into a winning coalition?
Yeah, I would tell you one of the key pieces that came out of that runoff election with Clay is just saying this for your audience to know, is that we closed a ruby red district, the reddest district in Georgia, down by 25 points. Anywhere else in America, I would be in Congress. So the key piece that I'm talking to everybody about right now, because we're only 112 days away from Election Day, is the economy, talking about if we all could come together, Democrats, independents, and common sense Republicans, we could flip this seat. And we're well on our way right now to doing that, because all over the district, they are very, very disappointed in Clay, because the only thing he does is whatever Donald Trump tells him to do.
Now, you've challenged him to three public forums, three debates across Georgia's 14th congressional district, one in the north, one in the central part of the district, and one in the southern part of the district. Why do you think that is so important?
The reason why that's important, because Clay loves to say that he's a fighter. That's easy to say. It's one thing to do it. And the reality of it is, the last time Clay and I did a debate there in Atlanta on live TV, it was very clear that he never wants to be in the same room with me again. And on top of that, not only calling him out, saying, let's do three different debates, because our district is 157 miles one way, 10 different counties. I want to make sure that when we do these debates, if he comes out, but when we do these debates, that people won't have to drive a long distance to come and see it. And then on top of that, what I've actually said is, while I'm out doing my town halls, he could show up anywhere, wherever I'm at, just walk in the door. I'll say, come on the stage, and we can do it right there in front of the people, unscripted, the whole nine yards, because he's going to be home pretty much all of August. So why not? Let's let the people hear and talk about the issues.
Why do you say it became clear after the debate during the special election cycle that he didn't want to be in the room?
Well, the reality of it is, he asked me, why did I vote for Vice President Harris? And I told him. And then as soon as I finished telling him that, I turned back around and asked him, why has he sold his soul to Donald Trump? And he could not answer that question. And what I actually said that particular day, almost three, 4 months ago, is playing out today, because for all practical purposes, Clay Fuller sold his soul to Donald Trump to get that endorsement. That endorsement really didn't do anything for him. And that endorsement is going to be the thing that sinks him this time, because everything that Clay's doing in D.C. right now is hurting the people here in Northwest Georgia, farmers, veterans, and just everyday hardworking people.
You've also said that you want unscripted questions, right? Which is very unusual for a debate of this type. Why? What do you think you could get out of a forum where it's not scripted? It's
well,
organic.
You know, because I did 40 years in the military as a senior officer, served overseas in combat, the whole nine yards. I am used to people asking me hard questions, and I have no clue what they're going to ask me. And when I do my town halls, and you're welcome to come to any of my town halls also, when I do my town hall, we open it up. I have no clue who's actually going to be in the audience, and I have no clue what questions they're going to ask. Because I am a leader and leadership matters, I believe leaders should be able to stand on their own two feet, tell you where they stand, and actually move on and go on from there. And that is what I've noticed from Clay. He will not come out in daylight unless you send him questions well in advance, so him and his team can prepare for it. I want to make sure that people clearly understand that Sean Harris is the real person that actually know how to take care of things and take care of people here in Northwest Georgia.
I think that probably, if I were a betting person, which I am not, I would assume he's probably going to decline this invitation for these three forums. And what is the message that you have for voters about why you think he won't show up and try to debate you?
Well, the message is simple. You know, Clay and I were both veterans. And I thank him for his service. But Clay comes out every day saying that he's a fighter and he's going to do all these different things. Well, if he's a fighter, let's come on out. Let's go into the debate. Let's go into the forum and let's discuss the issues. Because Clay spends all of his time here in the last couple of weeks talking about what's happening in New York. Well, newsflash, we don't live in New York. Matter of fact, none of us want to live in New York. So I don't know why he spends all his time talking about New York instead of talking about the PFAS issues that we have here on the ground, talking about the data center issues that we actually have, and talk about the lack of jobs that we actually have. That's what I want him to come back home and discuss and stop flying all over the country taking corporate America money.
When you think about the makeup of your district, I think it's important to provide context. This is a traditionally Republican district, but that doesn't really mean anything in 2026 because, you know, we've seen states like yours, Georgia, go from red to blue in recent years. I mean, talk a bit about how you are going about building a winning coalition in a district where voters are actually just used to voting for Republicans.
Yeah, there's a couple things that are different this time. You're right. Our state is really purple. I just so happen to live in the reddest district in the state. But with that being said, if you go back and look at the data since I've been running, every time I run, we're getting closer to closer. We're never going to be blue or purple, but we are turning pink. And what I mean by that, in many of our larger cities, the cities are now blue. And many of our, all of our counties, every last one of our counties are trending toward blue. So the reality of it is this time now with Keisha Bottoms as our governor, with our Senator John Ossoff and everybody else on the ticket, I think that's going to have the enthusiasm to bring more and more Democrats out, bring more independents out. And those are going to be the ones that get me over the hump. And then I'm also proud to say I'm the only Democrat in the entire state of Georgia that is documented that 20% of Republicans vote for me in this district. And that speaks volumes to my leadership and my ability to go out and speak to just the every common day man like I do every day. Like I'm actually doing today, I'm leaving from talking to you and going to Dallas and sitting down and listening about what's going on with data centers in Paulding County today.
Let's talk more about that. So, data center development in your district is a huge issue. Can you talk a bit about why and what are the concerns that are being brought to you from voters about data centers and building data centers and the impact on the environment in those communities?
Yeah, right now Georgia is on a pace to be the number one state in the country when it comes to having the amount of data centers. And I don't know why Georgia's rushing to that, but the reality of it is what I've actually said to everybody here in the district is I want to get to DC. Data centers are going to come in some kind of way, but I want to get to DC and help put some guardrails in place because I don't think it's right that the county commissioners or city commissioners or whoever are trying to make hard decisions on what is actually should be happening. They don't actually have the lawyers. They don't have all those things. The concerns that people talk to me about is, wait a minute, Sean, I bought a piece of property. I bought my farm and all these kind of things. The next thing I know, less than 200 feet from my farm is going to be a data center. And nobody ever told me anything about it. They're concerned about the water. They're concerned about the environment and concerned about what's going to be the effects on their light bills and all of those kind of things. And then ultimately, as you've probably seen on the news and social media lately, we actually have individuals right now having their property taken by eminent domain by Georgia Power to get ready for all these data centers.
Wow. I also want to talk a bit about your military experience because you mentioned, obviously, that Clay Fuller also is a veteran. And so I think it's an interesting thing to think about. What about your military service and being an infantry commander in Afghanistan allows you to be show up and become a better legislator? What about your experience? Maybe it's different than Mr. Fuller's experience, but what are some of the things that you bring to the fore from your experience in the military that can make you a better congressperson?
Yeah, and thank you for that. And I also thank you for Clay for talking mentioning that he's a veteran also. But what makes me different is that I am one of the few that can truly say that I actually started from the bottom and made it to the top. I know somebody can say that's maybe a song, but it's true. The reality of it, I joined the United States Marine Corps enlisted as Private Harris. And then after going to college at Tuskegee University, worked my way all the way up, retired as Brigadier General Sean Harris. My last assignment was Israel as a senior defense official. But in addition to that, I've led men and women in combat throughout Afghanistan and also led men and women throughout Liberia during the Ebola time. With all of those different experiences, it helps me understand people. It makes me make sure that when I'm making decisions, I understand that the most important thing in any decision that we're making, regardless of what side of the equation is on, is the people. And that is what makes me different from Clay, is because I stay focused on the people here in Northwest Georgia, period. That's who's sending me to Washington, D.C., and that's where my loyalty is going to be. My loyalty is not to a party. My loyalty is not to the president of the United States. My loyalty is to the people here in Northwest Georgia and the oath that I will be raising my hand again with the Constitution, just like I served 40 years in the military. I plan to go to Washington, D.C. and only do term limits, and then I'm getting out the way for somebody else to come up there and continue to fight for the people here in Northwest Georgia.
Why do you support term limits? It's a big conversation right now after the passing of Senator
The
Lindsey
reason
Graham.
why I support term limits is very simple. I believe that at some point, you need to get out the way as a leader and let the next generation take over. And as long as you still stay in the seat, that means a generation or two generations could very well be missed. I'm not saying that you cannot still lead. I look at it like this. This is what I do in the military as a retired general. I help mentor the next generation. So I believe as you do your term limits and you come out, that doesn't mean that you're done. That simply means that you get out of the seat. And as new leadership come in and they start seeing some problems, they can call you on the phone and say, hey, what do you think about this? And you turn into the mentor program, or what we actually call in the military the graybeard program, where you can kind of help behind the scenes and at the same time making sure that the next generation is in the seat so they can keep up with technology, keep up with everything that's going on. And I just will simply believe leaders need to know when to get out of the seat and get out of the way.
One of the big issues in the headlines right now is again, ICE has killed two people in a week. It's
Yes.
the fourth ICE killing since the beginning of the year. And, it's a really, really hard thing to just process emotionally, the fact that we have this rogue agency killing people in the street and there's no mechanism for accountability. As a member of Congress, what are the most important levers that you think can and should be pulled in terms of oversight of an agency like ICE and Border Patrol?
Yeah, we need to go back and relook at all of the guidance that we actually have out there when it comes to border control and when it comes to ICE. Right now, ICE is the largest financial, budget-wise, organization that we actually have here in the United States. With that being said, I think Congress needs to come back, step up, and act, Democrats and Republicans, and actually say, hey, guys, if you're running around the United States and you're constantly killing people, you're doing something wrong. It is time to bring them back in, reevaluate what we're doing, and say, okay, we got to change. And the reality of it is, with my experience of being in the military and working with ICE in the past, you would never see ICE out on the street. You would see them actually going to pick up the worst of the worst. And that's what Donald Trump said he was going to do, pick up the worst of the worst. Now they're actually running down innocent people, killing them. And as of yesterday or last night, the night before, the person that they shot and killed was not even the person they was actually looking for. So we're moving too fast. I think Congress need to get a backbone, bring ICE back in under control, and actually make sure that we holding the leadership of ICE and the Border Control accountable for these actions that are happening on the street.
How can people who are listening find out more about you and your campaign?
Yeah, I asked him to go to SeanForGeorgia.com. That is my particular website. I asked him up front to pray for me. I always try to make things look easy, but behind the scenes, it's tough. When you're in the Ruby Red District, a lot of things got to happen. So I asked for people to join our team, help us make phone calls, knock on doors, donate money, do all of those things. But I also encourage your team. The reason why I want them to go to my website is because I think I'm the only politician that actually have put in great detail where I stand on the policies and what I plan to be working on when I get to Washington, D.C. And the reason why I do that is because I want people to know in my district, and I want people to know here in the United States, that when I get to Congress, I already have a plan. I'm not going to hit the ground lost and don't know what I'm doing. Exactly what Clay Fuller is doing right now. I'm prepared to go do the job. I want to do the job. I want to serve the people here in Northwest Georgia. And then when I hit my term limits, I'm going to get out of the way and let somebody else go up there and continue to do the hard work.
You mentioned that it's tough running. What's the hardest part of running for Congress?
The hardest part of running in my district is, we have had our fair share of threats. Things got a little intense last period, but that's okay. It's not the first time somebody said they wanted to kill me. It won't be the last. But I will say this, it's absolutely no fear in me. And when I say it's no fear in me, I want to make sure that everybody in the district clearly understands that they need to get up, have a plan, and go vote. No ifs, ands, buts about it. We're not going to let anybody hold us back. And when I say that, I'm talking across the board. I don't care if you're black, white, blue, or green, Hispanic, whatever. You need to make sure that you have a plan that you can go out and vote in November, because this vote, I know we say it all the time, but this vote here could have great effect on you, your kids, your grandkids, and everybody. So when people threaten me, don't worry about Sean Harris. Just keep me in your prayers. We're going to continue to go out. We're going to continue to talk to people, and we're going to win this election and do the right thing and make sure that everybody here in the 14th is represented across the board.
Sean Harris is the Democrat running for Congress in Georgia's 14th district. That, if you are keeping track, is a district formerly held by Marjorie Taylor Greene. He is running against Republican Clay Fuller. Thank you so much for being back with us. Come back anytime.
Thank you very
Stay
much.
safe.